we're talking about.
Okay, the device is recording. What we have here is tax day, April 15th, 3:15, board time.
Okay, before we start, I got word that it's taking a little longer to get the minutes prepared from last time because we had more than one person talking at a time. So it's my responsibility as the chair to make sure that only one person talks at a time.
Want some practice? I can talk.
So that's the level of order we're going to try to adhere to. So starting out with old business, do we have any old business? Does anybody have any old business?
Well, paragraph two, it says new business, but these subjects have been discussed many times, so maybe they should have been up in paragraph one.
Okay. So I
want to just start with my rebuttal to the rebuttal.
You have the floor, Tom.
Well, yeah, go ahead. You brought these issues up a week or two ago, and so, yeah, you feel free to take the lead.
I brought them up, and then you had staff rebut why we couldn't do these things. And so I'm bringing back with the rebuttal why we probably should do those.
Yeah, and what we're hoping for today is a board decision on whether to act or not act, rather than continuing to discuss the issue over and over again.
That way you can't rebut my rebuttal to his
rebuttal. Well, I'm just concerned about staff. You know, they've got new work to do, and instead of revisiting things over and over again, if we could just get a decision, I think that would be...
Is that fair enough, Tom?
Oh, sure.
Okay, all right, sure. You have it.
So I gave you some things there with red print on it. The first one I want to go back and readdress is that Hazeldale property.
This is the one, you've got the number -1, -2, and -3. Do I start with
one? How about one?
Okay.
Number one. And the map you have there will address some of my concerns as to why we should vacate and sell that piece of property. If you look at that, this is a piece of property, 0.7 of an acre, was used as a pig farm for a while, but the bottom line is it's excess property, and this property has been there for some time. It was purchased for a project that is not on the 20-year plan, and in the 20 years we are liable and we maintain and are responsible for that piece of property. Well, part of it could be an access going to the school. The other part of it should be put back on the market, sold. But someone could build a home on it, and there again, we exist off the taxes of homes on different pieces of property. Now, this was purchased with the idea that we might need some areas along here when and if we're going to do this in 20 years. We don't know if we're going to do this in 20 years. But I also provide you with a map right there. And if you look at this map, you'll see where this is on a slight incline on North Hazeldale Avenue all the way. We own most of the property at the bottom of the hill. That's already being held for the same reason. And get your map right? Okay. So the main road goes down, and we own the stuff at the intersection first, the very first intersection, or I should say that, second through intersection, on Hazeldale, we have all that vacant property there, of which one we already own. Now, this is a project, we don't know where we need the stormwater facilities even. But we want to hold this one up here for that. We want to hold this one for that. And the other two, and we're still not down to the bottom yet. So, in my opinion, it's something that, my comments are in red. So if you look under your number one project list there. My rebuttal is written in red as to what we paid for it. And we have a tendency to overpay when we want a piece of property. Here's a piece of property we paid $162,000 for, and its value, assessed value, is $90,000. Shame on us. I think by putting this back on the market, allowing for a cut-through path there to kids can access the schoolyard would be the right thing to do.
Okay.
You see the map all the way down here? You see all this? You got right side here?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you see all this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You want to handle these one at a time, Kyle?
Yep.
Okay. Your lead. So you said your part. We got Pete there.
Just to clarify a couple things for the counselor, the mm-hmm. school actually does own a strip of land just to the south of that property.
Oh, they do own that already.
Access
okay.
already.
Yeah, there's a path through there.
Yep.
That'd be a perfect place to improve that.
So, hey, Carol.
Well, this, so a little bit, you know, and obviously this is, this particular decision, that, you know, this is a board decision. I think, you know, our, what this represents is just our public works recommendation. If we, if you asked us, we'd say we think we should keep this property. And the reasons being, just a little bit of more history, is when we did purchase this property, the project, Hazeldale Avenue project, was moving forward pretty quickly at the time. It went to 90% design, which we still have on a shelf somewhere. And then there were some shifts in funding and ended up being taken off, and we haven't done anything with it since. This property that was purchased, it was purchased for stormwater. There was a house on it when we purchased it, and that's why the price that we paid is higher than what the assessed value is today. And typically when that's the case, we relocate folks that were in the house. And then depending on the type of house, sometimes we can relocate it, deconstruct it and recycle it, or tear it down. I'm not sure what happened here, but it was removed. And the other, and just, you know, we've kind of learned from history a little bit that when we've had this happen before, where we buy something and then we think we don't need it, so we sell it, and then we need it again, you know, we find out later on we need it again. And Councilor Milkey's right, this is not on the 20-year plan, but it is, Hazeldale Avenue is identified as a minor arterial and arterial atlas. So depending on how things proceed in the future with any traffic patterns, it could come up, and we may be responsible for approving it again in the future. And when that time comes, then we would need property for stormwater. And based on the changes that we're seeing in the stormwater codes, and the, we had our design folks look at this, we'd actually need more property than we have now. So we do, the risk is that you sell it, somebody builds on it, and, you know, typically, stormwater property needs to be located in a strategic place, typically at the low end of the topography, so everything drains to it. So it becomes difficult to find facilities, and you ultimately end up having to buy perhaps another property that somebody's already moved in and relocate them again. So it's just, it's a risk that you take.
Sure. So when did we buy the property a half a block to the north of it, half a block farther down the hill? There's another piece of property that we own there on the, I guess it'd be the west side of Hazeldale. That's a water facility also. But yeah. The other thing that brings to mind, just a few months ago, this piece of property was brought to us to give to Habitat for Humanity. And there was no objection to that, except my objection was to give it away when the property wouldn't be given back to the person who would build the home. That's the problem, issue I have with Habitat for Humanity. We let the individual build a home on the property, but they don't own the property, so they don't, really don't build equity. That's not really helping somebody in my mind. And so I thought, well, gee whiz, why don't we just put it back on the market, because no one complained about building the house for Habitat for Humanity, that now's the time to put it back on the market, especially when we have other facilities downhill to the north just to have a block away, and much more vacant land if we want more.
Well, the Habitat for Humanity thing I was involved with Pete, and that was somewhat related to the fact that we had a lot of issues with the farm directly mm-hmm. north. And at the time, I think it was a combined sort of package. We were not going to give the entire lot to Habitat. We were going to split the functional piece up front off, let someone build a Habitat for Humanity on that, with the conversation moving forward about buying the Willow Duke farm potentially, and combining with the back half of this parcel to get the total amount of land we needed to do the future stormwater facility. That all kind of fell through, and we didn't do it. But there was, my recollection is that was a combination of ideas there with the purchase of the northern parcel and then splitting the parcel we're talking about right now in half.
The only thing about construction projects, the one thing I can say, because I've been here long enough to see these, we bought land 5 different times and sold it related to the patent, because we were never going to do the patent, it wasn't a priority. Then it was a priority, so we bought them back again. Then we sold it again, not always the same property, but in the same highway. And then ultimately we did build it, and we every time we bought it back, we spent a great deal extra for it. And a lot of that, really, it's not a fault thing. It really is an ebb and flow to transportation demand. If we think there's a huge project coming up and we expect it to demand a lot of infrastructure, we may plan ahead and get ready for it. So we'll start ramping up to build roads and to prepare for it. And then all of a sudden, if that deal falls through, you've bought all this infrastructure and now you don't need it. Next thing you know, you need it over in 179th, or you need it at Salmon Creek. And it just changes. And it's a battle to some extent to try and keep up with that. But in the public's interest, you try to stay ahead of it so that we're not creating, stop-and-go traffic. Yeah. We're trying to improve our roads to the extent we can to accommodate traffic demand.
So, Chris, I want you to hold that thought on the next issue coming up here, because I agree with you.
Okay.
But in this case here, we not only have that facility, we have a facility half a block down the road, we have a larger area down there, and then as you turn to go down there, we have a lot more vacant land down here that we could use also. So it looks like we've overplanned for stormwater facilities for a road that may not happen in 20 years.
Yeah, and I don't have a good answer for you on the remainder. I mean, I've looked at each of these individual ones. Okay. I just have provided... I've worked with Public Works and with the county for a while.
Okay. What do you guys think?
Well, I have a couple questions. So the question is, if the 90% plans were brought forward and this project was constructed, do you need that parcel if we already own other parcels down the road?
Yeah, this, and then all this.
Yes. We do. And the part of it has to do with the topography of not only the roadway, but as you go down the hill there, and I'll be honest, I don't know all the history on this other facility down the hill, but it's a clean water facility through Environmental Services. And we did have a project 3 or 4 years ago through the Clean Water Program to upgrade that facility. And knowing where it is, as I recall, is a pretty... The topography starts going up there. There's a big steep bank on the backside. So I'm not sure that this property, and I think some of this was acquired when we realigned 117th Street here years ago, but I don't think it's suitable for stormwater right there at that location.
They frequently get covenants put on them, too, that restrict what you can use them for. Mm-hmm. So when we turn over parcels to clean water, they're often encumbered in some way.
So we don't have that on this.
I don't know. I didn't research the particular
part. I was aware of that.
And
some
do. The big piece on the corner is the first one, the other stormwater facility that was basically already occupies that site is clean water, and then the larger parcel to the where you're shown to the north there is owned by a development company.
Yeah, Lindquist.
Yeah. So and based on what the designers have looked at this again and feel that we would need the property that we have at a minimum plus likely potentially some property, the farm to the south potentially, and maybe even something on the other side of the road.
In other words, in addition to this, you think that we could need more?
Yeah.
If we retain that property, is there, I imagine, two possible ongoing operations. One is that we just simply maintain it, which means it costs us, we're not gaining the property tax that it would be if it was on the tax rolls, and we're having to pay for the maintenance of it. The other possible choice would be if we were to somehow lease that out or somehow provide some benefit to the community. Is there some thing that may fill that category so that it's not just simply us maintaining it at a cost?
I think, you know, there's always the potential for that, and I think the Habitat for Humanity House was something we were striving for there.
Well, we're talking about that one piece of in blue here.
Yeah, that's where it was going to be located, the Habitat for Humanity, and then I don't recall what happened, but they ended up going someplace else.
I thought that we needed all of that and more, just for stormwater.
We did, but we were going to parse, there was a little piece that we could peel off, and they could just take that little spot, and then we were going to also look to purchase the, for lack of a better word, the pig farm, the other piece of the property, and put the stormwater in the kind of the back side of those two parcels so that Habitat for Humanity could use the front side.
Is that, so the question is, what do we do with that piece of property? What do you recommend? Is that Habitat for Humanity still a viable option, or is it you need the whole thing for stormwater?
Ultimately, if the project went forward, we would need the whole thing for stormwater.
Okay.
And I want to back up to physical property is a county asset. County assets belong to all of our citizens. The value of that is our citizens' money. So a notion that we would pick a favored charity or a favored program or project to donate land to, I don't see how we could internally. I think we should have a discussion about that. A separate discussion about that on its face, because that might not be my charity, and also because they'll build a house but you don't own the property, and so on and so forth. So then you have a division between ownership of a structure and land, and there that creates all kind of complications. And then which charities would be the beneficiary and which not, That's a whole separate discussion.
At this point, you're not suggesting that we would do any charity thing with this at all. Your preference is to hold this in reserve for the time that Hazeldale Avenue project would be improved. That you've done your report here, you've looked at this, and that's in your judgment what we ought to do.
That would be our recommendation.
Okay.
The maintenance costs on it to maintain it over the years with the home or structure gone is significantly less. It's a few mowings in a year. It's really low cost to hang on to. It's not a high maintenance to hang on to just the land. That's part of why we moved quickly to removing structures that we know won't be resold or put back onto the tax rolls.
Because they're an attractive nuisance, right?
It is an attractive nuisance. So we work with sheriff's office and fire departments and recycle companies to get the best out of what we can. But maintenance on it is very, very low cost.
So in us reaching a decision on this, we want to make sure we hear both the case for and retaining it and the case for putting it back. So we've heard both sides so far. Anything else you want to share on this?
Well, no, just that the more properties you take off, I call it a ghost project, because it's not in sight for 20 years. 20 years, even though the maintenance is small, does that come out of the road department? So we're going to use part of our road department money to maintain these. And all these pieces of property that we have here, we take it off the tax rolls, and that means that the people in this neighborhood are going to pay more taxes to uphold the stuff that's been removed from that. So I see the advantage of having a tax income. We exist on property taxes, and I recognize the need for us to purchase ahead of time when we have projects. I think the project should be a little bit closer in view, a little bit more definite than what this one is.
Okay. So in order for us to be decisive on this, make a decision, I would think that at this point we ought to make a call.
Of course, I'm in favor of putting it back on the tax market and looking at other things a half a block away.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense when you would use half of it for a house and the other half for water retention, and then we have our staff saying, but we actually need more land than that for water retention.
But we've said we're not going to build a house on it. But yeah, Habitat, they went elsewhere.
Well, that's what was being considered before.
Yeah.
With the same knowledge, we needed more land.
So just my feedback on it, I agree that taking land off of the tax rolls ends up being thousands of dollars of lost revenue each year that it's there. I understand that. And yet, I look at the overall responsibility that the county has to continue to improve our roads, to build infrastructure, and all that requires planning. And there's been a 90% plan already invested in this. And it's not a question of yes or no, will it be built? It's a question of when will it be built, even if it's not on the 20-year plan. We could, with the future being as viable and or with such vitality going on right now with growth, end up moving this up. And for that reason, I'm inclined to retain that provision for stormwater so that Hazeldale Avenue can be improved according to plan. Do you want to make a motion?
I think it's premature to sell it or to look to sell it. And I also think that looking at the broader map, if we're talking about this area and stormwater runoff and then clean water, I think it's more complicated than thinking we don't need this point here. I think this convergence here of all this creates unique problems. So I think it's premature to sell it now. So
you're welcome to make a motion. See if you get a second.
Cool. No, you have to get a second. Or she would.
Well, if somebody's ready to make a motion.
I got it. Yeah. Okay, no problem. Move on.
In next other words, point.
You're withdrawing it?
You're withdrawing
no.
it?
No.
Well, I make a motion disagree, that so. We maintain this okay. property at this time.
All right.
Okay. I second that motion. Any more discussion?
None.
Okay. All in favor of retaining this property for the provision intended that it was for stormwater for the improvement of Hazeldale in the future? Say aye.
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 Nay.
Okay. Motion okay. passes. Two
so,
to one.
My next one, I'll take off what Chris Horn said, that you know, we buy things for future plans and things that were more obvious that we need to build roads, and that brings me up to St. John's and 72nd
is that
Avenue. And you have I don't have a map for it, so it was.
Well, there is a map
on the back
on the original one.
They probably have the
map. The one that was, well, the ones that were provided with the board time agenda have a map.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. In other words, this is the dash two document. The text.
Yes,
document.
Dash two.
Okay.
Where's your board time packet, Counselor?
That's all. All I got is this.
Oh, well, attached to that were these
okay.
three papers.
Well, mm-hmm. thank you for sharing.
Sorry.
Yeah, right here, and this right here, we are in the process. The green line up at the top is 119th Street that we're in the process. Of rebuilding.
Okay, look at this.
And
it's the same one. Is that the same one?
Yeah. The same one. Same ground, blue line.
This blue line here.
Right here.
Oh, this, 119, this blue line is a different.
72nd.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Oh, thank there you very much.
Go.
Now I have a blue
hey,
line.
Hey, Peter.
All right.
Oh, you have yours.
I can look
okay.
at hers.
So, some of the first thing that came back and said that we wasn't practical for us to buy it because it was worth $1 million and it was 39 acres. Obviously, we don't need 39 acres to use the corner of this property. We need the width of a proposed arterial, and that's the maximum of it. When these roads are being built, we have a big congestion area that we're trying to fix on 72nd and 119th. Street right now, and one of the proposals was to come across with St. John and go across and then come down and line up with the driveway of the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
There's two churches. There's a synagogue and another church
Glenwood
that uses that driveway right there. And what that does, it would remove the loading of the new intersection that we're trying to repair for the traffic congestion that we have. And so my proposal was that we purchase the corner of this Webolt property to go over and line up with another road. And what that would do, it would unload the intersection at 72nd and 119th Street. Because at some point down the road, 72nd Avenue during peak time is bumper to bumper from downtown all the way to Dollar's Corner.
Okay.
And so it's a future thing that probably should be done. I'm aware that there was some other consideration in this, and what it was, they were going to go up there halfway and make a square block around the area that's there. This could serve both the two ways. If this is going to be a commercial area from the blue square to the south, mm-hmm. but that would provide access there also, mm-hmm. that wouldn't disturb the intersection there or provide additional intersections going in. Now, I understand also that there was proposal of going in, I think, on 110th, which is already has a church in there, and the road's kind of cut in there right now also. Mm-hmm. But that's one, as Chris says, when you plan for the future, you buy property out ahead of time. Originally, I was told that we couldn't buy that because it was somewhat of a wetland, and I brought up Curtain Creek, and we plan on building a road across the middle of Curtain Creek. We could surely buy a buffer in the corner over here to do a future lineup of a road that is necessary. If we don't plan for that, and this builds out into a commercial industrial area, it'll cost us a fortune. And all we need right now is access the width of an arterial road, a five-lane road, to go across there, line up with a traffic light there at the synagogue, and that would serve the community of the synagogue and the other church, as well as the people who go east on 119th. Now they come down 72nd, load up at 119th and 72nd, and turn east. And this would make all that traffic bypass and take the load off that intersection.
Okay. Heath, you want to help us understand as you see it?
Sure. And again, you know, this discretionary for the board to decide here. I think when we're looking at this area, you know, through the development of the 72nd Avenue and Carolyn was a project manager on St. John's Road, so it's her fault.
Good answer.
You get the credit.
How'd that feel, Carolyn?
Yeah.
So anyway, we've had three major projects in this area. Mm-hmm. Through that, there's, as Councilor Milky said, a lot of discussion about access and how to provide it. And there was at one time consideration there's a lot of discussion about what we termed as a quad road to provide access kind of behind the businesses on 72nd Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but to date, the extension, I think that was studied, and there were some concerns at the time with that about how it would affect the intersection right there at St. John's and 72nd. With added traffic coming the other way, there were some environmental concerns, and then there was this concept of having developer-driven kind of quad road built to provide other access.
Mm-hmm.
So the extension of St. John's Road has never been on the arterial atlas. So right now, as it stands, like if their developer came in to build there, or we were going to build a road, we're not yet authorized to do that. Mm-hmm. But if it were on the arterial atlas and programmed in into the CFP and the six-year plan, we could.
We would not likely put an arterial extension there, though.
Typically, we would not.
It would end up too close to, this is an arterial.
Mm-hmm.
Intersection, and this is far too close to do a second arterial intersection because they'll start to back into each other. When this develops, this will require cross circulation as these large parcels develop out, mm-hmm. but we're not likely to let them tap in a arterial road at St. John's because the way this was configured, you'll actually lose efficiencies at the signal and this one by making this a fourth leg and putting something over here. So we actually studied this at length because we had a designed one way to T and 72nd to St. John's early on. Then we switched it around, and then we switched it around again. So so we would not encourage any sort of arterial extension here just because of the way we've invested in both 72nd, St. John's, and this 119th corridor. So it actually undoes instead of furthers the development of the network. But realize this will require cross-circulation in here.
Right. And the next page in your packet, this is one of the areas being studied by Jeff Swanson for industrial site readiness for industrial development. Mm-hmm. And so we're working, you know, the port's a partner in that. Mm-hmm. And what we would hope to do here is maybe aggregate parcels. And you can see the railroad goes right through it here.
That's a mile north or south of what we're talking about.
Well, of course, but it's all part of the same area that we're studying.
Other quadrant, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we're evaluating this for potential economic development potential, and the port is interested in it as well. And so we'll see the results of that site readiness study when the study's complete. But certainly if this is going to develop into a commercial industrial area, they would have to be cross-circulation as part of that development.
Arterial intersections are typically at least a mile apart. So you would not, I don't think you'd meet those spacing requirements to throw it in very near the 119th, 72nd.
Where St. John's comes in to 72nd is about the same distance from there to 119th as it is over to the synagogue. It's about the same distance down here as it is right here.
Which is why we toyed around with where to make this intersection. We actually looked at making it out here at 109th. The problem was, as part of this was already partially developed, this is undeveloped, so we do have a little bit more choice. Yeah. This was already developed, so we didn't really get as much liberty to realign that arterial.
Everything on the east side there is wetland. That's
why we didn't buy
people. That's the headwaters of the Curtain Creek.
Right.
It goes north of 119th. Even we bought several acres north as well as we did south from the tree farm for that buffer. So you surely wouldn't be developing over here in that wetland. 50% of that land that we're looking at with the squares down there are not buildable.
Yeah, that's down at this end.
Yes.
We had looked at buying this, actually, but walked away from it because it didn't make sense as a road network.
And then as part of the general discussion on this paper, there's some funding pressures that Public Works is under with the potential loss of the $7 million Public Works Trust Fund loan for 10th Avenue and existing loan money that might be swept on the currently approved Public Works Trust Fund loan money, correct?
That's correct.
So to divert $1 million to buy this piece of property.
Well, it's not $1 million, and that's what I said before. We're not buying 39 acres.
Well,
we're buying a corner.
We'd have to fork out $1 million, and then we'd have to resell what we don't need. But then to connect this, we'd have to make additional acquisitions to the north.
You know, I didn't have time to go talk to Mr. Rebolt, but anything under $1 million I keep. So I think that probably should be on the Atlas for a very good reason. When those churches opened up and whatnot, that traffic backs up, and all the work that we've done there on 119th Street, we're going to overload this intersection again. It's going to fall out of concurrence sooner than what it is already. So to be closed-minded at that, and with some of the ideas you looked at before, you wanted to go up here halfway between St. John's and 119th and do a square block in there and do a square block around there, which may mean that you'd have another out here with no traffic light. You actually considered that.
And I think maybe part of the difference, too, is I think, you know, the classification of the roadways, you know, St. John's, 72nd, 119th are all principal arterials, and like the synagogue, for example, their access is basically a local access, or it's a big driveway. Mm-hmm. And I think that the other thing is through on the third page of the pictures here is what community planning has worked on for potential circulation plans in this area where they would actually go to the south and recommend a small, you know, a small collector along 110th and then another collector to the north. So that would provide some of that cross circulation that you're talking about there.
Yeah. And
a little different location.
That's typically how the network is done. So you have large blocks with arterial to arterial, and in between you have the connectors that connect one arterial to another, and then you'll get into the neighborhood streets and the quadrants.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how our overall county plan, transportation planning goes. So if they will look at roads in there, but they're not going to be an arterial. There'll be collector and neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And they're also only a block apart, not a mile.
Yeah. Well, that because they're much smaller, that's very normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
What I would suggest is that because we have a project going forward with the Port of Vancouver to study this area, that we don't interject intermediate plans to change that, but instead we allow that study to go forward, inform us of the options there, because that's a study that's going to give us some more insight to know what is more appropriate, that at this point we wouldn't advance alternative ideas until we get that. Does that sound reasonable?
Well, no, because you're actually separated. There's homes down here already. It doesn't show up very well. This is already commercial in here. It's already built up. You got some commercial in here. We also have wetland issues coming into here.
Mm-hmm.
What's along this track now is already being used as side rail loading. It doesn't affect up here at all.
Well, what I'm looking at is the perimeter of this whole thing. I know that you're talking about one portion of it,
mm-hmm.
but this whole site is being studied right now to determine what is the best and highest use for jobs for our future. And because that's included in there, I think wouldn't it be best for us to be able to see what the results of those are that would help us to at least evaluate that before we suggest an alternative. What you could do is, since it's being studied now,
mm-hmm.
Is you could brainstorm with Jeff Swanson and whoever else is in process.
It doesn't touch that portion of it.
Well,
the area that I'm talking about.
In the perimeter. This whole section.
It's in the perimeter there of a square mile. That's about a square mile there is what you're looking at. Up this way, it's a square mile. It's a mile from the railroad tracks up to 119th.
Mm-hmm.
It's all undeveloped on the east side of that road.
Sure.
And we have water issues. We've already run off the mm-hmm. Caterpillar repair guy that went in there. We ran him off because he couldn't meet the water requirements. So but yet farther up here there's also a church somewhere in here. Well, I don't have any heartburn for any of these.
Well, what I'm thinking is that being that things are studying, it's being studied. I expect the studies process considers mm-hmm. options and alternative ideas. And if you have ideas that you feel like that should be considered, I would encourage you to brainstorm with Jeff Swanson and whoever else in the court, whoever's in, make sure you're included in that discussion, so because maybe you have an insight that they haven't considered. Because I'm looking at that whole area that we're paying with all of these together, all the different parcels are being studied, isn't it around $100,000 that we're paying a consultant to?
Thereabouts.
Yeah, it's not just that area.
No, it's in
there's a whole railroad area.
Several
yeah.
areas.
It
yeah.
is.
No, that's good. I don't have a problem.
Okay. Well, why don't we? Because I want to be able to make sure that we have clarity and decisiveness on these things. Why don't we make a decision at least to hold off on this for now? And
well,
if you
want
to bring
staff,
this forward after we have the study results, then. Mm.
Well, no, I'm hearing from staff that they don't want to put another arterial there. And I guess if staff is making that decision, they can do that.
Yeah, I think whether or not this develops in an industrial fashion or not, I think staff would not support extending St. John's across 72nd
and
curving it to the north.
I disagree with you. No. And I know what the hell, I know what kind of a load there is, and I think he does also. When we get that all done, it's going to be really interesting to see what we're going to.
So a couple of things to think about is, while they're studying this area, the use of the parcels may change. And so when a use change, you would appropriately relook at the transportation system to support that.
Yes.
So what we've made decisions on and what we're recommending is based on today's land use and the network as it stands today. Mm-hmm. Oliver's group can be looking at a sub-area plan. Jeff's group can be looking at this railroad economic development. And that may change our answers, but given the information we have today, we would not develop the network in this way. Mm-hmm. When these landowners come in, they would be required to build the roads at no cost to Clark County. Mm-hmm. I mean, they would deal with traffic credits and fees and all that kind of stuff, so there may be some trade-off there, but really the developers or these landowners would be required to build the network internally to this block. And so I think Clark County has a future that could go a couple different directions, but we don't have that information to change our current plan, and that's okay. What his recommendation is based on.
So an appropriate motion here would be to purchase or not purchase the suggested piece of property for the sake of providing an alternate route.
A portion of.
Okay. Anybody want to make a motion?
I would make a motion that we deny the request to purchase this parcel for the purposes of St. John's Road having an east extension connecting to 119th for 119th Street for the very reasons that staff has outlined about proximity of entrances or where the roads come together, intersections, and the concern with impeding the transportation flow that we've tried to create there. And I think the economic development potential for that for jobs is still potentially high, and I would like to see that option remain open.
Okay. I think that was a blend of a motion and a discussion. So to simplify the motion, let me paraphrase it. You move not to purchase the property and not to build this the proposed roads that Commissioner Mielke has suggested.
I think I made my motion out of the box with to deny this request to purchase the parcel for the purposes of that eastward extension of St. John's Road connecting to 119. Your request is to purchase it, right?
Well, not necessarily purchase it. We could do all kinds of things without purchasing.
Well, that's what it
says. We could
have
a first right of refusal. We have a first right of refusal, or we just put on the atlas.
I don't want to do it, so you make the motion.
I got it.
I'm thinking of Jennifer. She's got to put down
I
a concise motion.
I completely agree.
And so let me do this. We have the 2015-2 document. In there is a request to purchase parcel number so and so, and your motion is to deny that.
Yes.
Okay. I second that motion. Any more discussion?
None.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Motion passes.
Okay. Subject number three.
Okay.
Been working. I was amazed. I went back and looked at some old notes on this.
Okay.
Brought up the first time in May 28th of 2010, and that was to remove those curb barriers on 109th and St. John's. You look at the same map that we had there with the diagonal right there. The diagonal cut these here.
Mm-hmm.
So 109th is right about in here somewhere.
Oh,
look real
here.
Close.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that.
Yes.
And if you look at the work that we've done there, we went in there on a two-lane road, made it a four-lane road with an island. Mm-hmm. And because it was a, so you could see the drastic angle that it went across there at about a 45-degree angle, that they did have accident there, and I guess somewhere back when somebody was killed there. So we come back through here, and we made those at great cost, bought a lot of property, mm-hmm. and made them perpendicular to one another, the way that wouldn't happen. But after we did that, we decided to go back through there and put curbs across there so you couldn't go across the road. Mm-hmm. What that did, it created all the traffic that wanted to go across, they would have to go right. You couldn't go left out of there either. You had to turn right. And so what happened, the people that lived over, people that lived over here, if to go home and they're on 72nd, they go down into the 72nd and St. John. Mm-hmm. Then they come back up here and go right. Mm-hmm. And the same thing. But what I was noticing, it's not very well traveled. But what the people are doing, they're driving, the big trucks drove over the curbs, and the other one drove the northbound St. John's. They drove in the left turn lane and then went around and then come back and then went on 109th. Now, after making all that change and whatnot, in my opinion, that it wasn't necessary to put those curbing in there, because what we're doing now, we're creating a more serious of problems if these people wangle through here to go back around rather than just move those barriers. I can see why we would prevent that had we not made the roads perpendicular to each other. But because we did that, we solved the problem. But we went overboard by putting the curbing in there. So, and when we are told that we do a project because someone was killed there, it was a bad intersection, I always remind people a little bit farther north and on 259th and 72nd. In the last few years, I've had 3 deaths in that corner, not counting the number of accidents, and we've done nothing to improve that. So to think that we would ignore that and then oversimplify this, we aren't helping traffic flow at all. It seems like you continue to run traffic into new intersections to make them fall out of concurrency quicker, and the inconvenience of anybody wanting to come north from there. So
your proposal?
My proposal was to keep the left turn lanes there, but remove the center so the people can go across 109th, go across on 109th allow them to go across St. John's. And what they did, they just placed them the little blocks on top of the concrete.
Okay.
So the first time I asked about it, Mr. Capel said, well, we can't do that. My staff said it would take $20,000 to remove those. And I said, you know, they're sitting on, they put the concrete down and they set them on top.
Mm-hmm.
I said, give me 15 minutes with the Bobcat and I'll show you how to do it. So, I guess I'm not really happy with some of the answers I got from staff in 2010, and we have a different reason why we might not want to remove it today.
Mm-hmm.
The traffic there is very, very light. Someday we predict we might need a traffic light, but to this point, the traffic doesn't warrant the inconvenience and the traffic that has to go down and around to go north. West on that street. So I would like to remove those curbing still 4 years later.
Okay.
Counselor, let me jump in if you don't
sure.
mind. I was involved actually in 2010. The county, first of all, the justification to build the improvements on 72nd Avenue, which were over $10 million. It was a huge expense because of, in part, the stormwater and some wetland improvements, and in part because of all the extensive road improvements. But But the key to the project was that there was a demonstrated history of accidents, both traffic turning right and a lot of quick left turns, right turns from 119th and quick left turns into the Chevron that were resulting into rear-end accidents.
Oh, you're talking about a different corner.
Well, I understand, but I'm saying this was all built with one construction. This was all part of a single funding. And we had a substantial, and I'll let Public Works talk about the actual accident history. I just know that it was significant. Mm-hmm. And the effect was we scored very high with federal government and when we're entitled to grant funding to fix this area. So we got funding and promised to fix this area based on that funding. And after we constructed it, probably a year, not even maybe quite a year, I remember you wanting to raise this issue to take out the medians in connection near
72nd.
Yeah, by St. John or by Chevron in the driving range.
Yes.
And in fact we were concerned enough that I don't think if you look at the plan, well, there was a number of concerns about that issue. We recommended that you were at jeopardy with your federal funding, but by taking those out, you can lose your ranking and may be forced to repay that money. And so our concern was that both because of the fact that we told them it was serious, we told them we needed this money, they agreed with us and then gave us that money. If we went back and undid that, you'd create two problems. One, the potential to repay that money. But equally important, if you wound up with a serious accident in a road that you already fixed, now, you may disagree whether it was necessary or not, and it may not be right now. I'm not anybody's engineer.
Hasn't been an accident since.
But if you wound up with a serious accident there, and any plaintiff's lawyer found out about that, to find out that you fixed it and unfixed it, you'd have no answer to a jury for how, in fact, their child or their person or their brother, son, father, or whoever it was hurt because we decided we were going to undo this intersection. And I'm just suggesting that the risk of doing that, I mean, the potential hazards that you've described as a result of people not following the law probably happen with everybody who does illegal turns, red lights, speeding, mm-hmm. and everything else. Those are traffic enforcement issues. But I'm not sure that's a good excuse to just unfix your intersection. Especially since it was grant funded in the first place. So my advice would be to tread lightly and walk cautiously in that area because I think it's risky.
The intersection I'm talking about right now.
I understand. It's further south.
Is 3/4 mile away.
I understand.
From the one you have.
But it was all funded at the same time.
And we talked about all those accidents on 72nd and 119th. And
right.
They called them all intersection accidents, and they were exactly what you said they were. They were tail-end accidents, mm-hmm. what they were. They were not intersection accidents. This here had one mishap a long time ago because the road was at such angle and the trees were in there so thick, you didn't have that visibility. You didn't have the line of sight. Today, there are no trees whatsoever. Line of sight is as far as you can see. And to have those there, it wasn't warranted. Even in the, I read one of the reports, and it said someday that they may have to add a traffic light to this. And yet we've gone ahead and prohibited that from crossing today. It was nothing to do. We already fixed the danger so that the curbing was not necessary, and that's what I contend.
I would suggest if you really want to do that, that you should go back and get federal approval to remove that before you do it, so that you don't jeopardize your grant.
Well, we didn't do that when we removed the other curbing down. And what really mattered down there was a lot more traffic down there.
I understand, and I'm not sure.
Okay.
I would.
Yeah. But that would be a good way to stop me.
That'd
be a good way to stop the request to say you go get the permission from the feds, yeah.
Okay.
You don't like that.
Well, it's now on the device.
That's okay. It's on the device. It should be.
All right. You have any feedback, Commissioner?
My feedback is, once again, I'm going to listen to the advice of our transportation staff. I do see that the way it's configured creates you know, I can see how people could end up there going, well, now how do I turn left? Or how do I cross here? I can see that that confusion exists. What I see here is full build-out of the segment has still not occurred. So that's something that we expect will happen but hasn't. The current configuration is considered temporary in nature, so it means this isn't here to stay forever. And that at more further build-out, that traffic control may be replaced by some kind of a stoplight or some kind of a mechanism there, which would add
safety. Commissioner Stewart has the floor.
Okay. Just a sec. I'll take a look. And that our own attorneys have recommended against removing it. So,
if you look at the sheet I provided for you, you would see the answer to the things you brought up.
Okay.
Number three.
Are you finished?
I am.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. My own feedback on this is that certainly there are significant inconveniences there. When we want to be able to turn left, or we're able to turn from where we're going to where we want to go, and you can't do it, it's painful. It's inconvenient. I think we all get that. If we have the freedom to somehow improve that now without the concerns that were voiced here, I would say, by all means, let's improve that. But I think at this point, the prudent route is for us to make sure that we don't expose ourselves to that liability. The risk is very high for the benefit. And yes, it would make things more convenient, but I think the price that we potentially pay for that is over my threshold. So for that, there's a request here that's stated. Request to remove medians. In other words, I would assume that we would either support or reject that request.
Yeah.
So, is there a motion?
I would like to offer a little bit more discussion.
Oh, you want more discussion? Okay.
Briefly. Mm-hmm. So, I respect that Mr. Melky is looking at the effective use of property in the county and the effective transportation systems, and I respect your attention to that.
I appreciate.
I also know that our staff is capable, competent, qualified, and want the best safety for the citizens, and also want the best use out of the land. So I do see that, and they have a high threshold. They have responsibility every project for safety. So I do see it all the way around, but I think this is the right decision on this. And so I would make that motion that we maintain the medians at that location.
Okay. I second that motion, and I'll offer a little bit of feedback and discussion as well. And that is, Tom, I'm aware that you just brought forward three ideas with the motivation to make improvements. And those represent innovation, they represent invention, they represent problem solving, creativity, all of those really good things that we never want to discourage. Mm-hmm. And it's anytime we have a 2-to-1 vote, we have the risk sending the wrong message of discouragement.
I've been in this game for almost 20 years. Do you think the no vote bothers me? No, I take it for what it is, and I respect that.
All right. Okay. Well, just know that I always welcome, and I think we always welcome and encourage any kind of idea that comes forward. And how we do this is really important to make sure that you have been heard, and everybody has been heard, and all others. None of that has been throttle back at all. Make sure that when we finally make a decision on it, that every compelling case has been out there on the table.
I appreciate the decision, because for 4 years we never got there.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So it's good. I'm a little bit disappointed. because I invited both of you out there to look at these, and I don't believe you went.
I've been through that intersection, and I've been through a number of intersections where I wish I could turn left and I couldn't. So
I feel
the pain.
Okay.
So any other discussion?
No.
Okay, all in favor?
How many voters?
No, we did motion.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, 2-1. That decision has been made. Okay. Thank you, Tom. Do you have anything else?
I don't.
Okay.
Wasn't that enough?
I would add just one thing on that. It's the one thing out of this that we are going to look at that there for the, you mentioned some illegal turning movements that he's witnessed.
Uh-huh.
We are going to check that out and see if there's some things we can do. We do have some maintenance pads that are on either end that we may need to consider doing something there to prevent the crossing that you mentioned. So we will take a look at that.
And there's
also a cut-through driveway.
Right.
Yeah.
Another few feet up there.
Right.
Yeah.
I use that too.
Path of least resistance.
Gives you an idea of how light the traffic is.
Well, if they're going to evaluate that for enforcement, can they also evaluate the traffic volumes to see if it's possibly not justified in having those medians there?
We've actually, you can probably talk this, but we do that. We've been doing that regularly, and part of it's because there has been some developments going on. So each time a development comes in, we're reviewing, okay, they're bringing more traffic in, what are the traffic counts?
To see if the signal is warranted.
Exactly.
Yes, okay. And that signal, I assume that a signal does eventually go in there, that people will be able to treat that as a normal intersection. You can turn left wherever you want to turn left.
Or cross. East to the west or
and
vice versa.
So I think we're all looking forward to, and whoever goes through there is looking forward to that time when that inconvenience will go away and the signal, because the signal is going to make it so much better.
They'll need to do a little reconstruction along with the signalization, remove the median, that kind of stuff. So that's the long term. But we are working with the sheriff's office on enforcement, but also looking at blocking the ability to kind of sneak through. So that's what the traffic folks are working on with me.
And I hope that we're looking at where the traffic is coming from predominantly, because frustrated drivers get to be a danger. And if we can see consistent points of where traffic is coming from and where they're trying to get to, removing the medians may not be the only answer, but we have smart people that can maybe find other alternatives.
Sure,
as well.
But humans are like mice, you know. They figure out the best way to get from point A to point B.
They don't spend too much money there. It was a four by four truck that drove over it.
And our
even
goal
cars could get over
is
it
to make
too
sure
low.
That.
So.
Point A to point B is as safe as possible for everybody's sake.
Sure, and I really hesitate to somehow sound the alarm to send enforcement out there, because if they're already frustrated they can't make the turn, they're going to be really frustrated if they get a ticket doing what they, in their mind, is common sense. So I hopefully will find us, think of the big picture, what are they, that point of where are they coming from, where are they trying to get to, maybe there's some signage or something that can help them to get where they want to go without having experiencing all that frustration.
That's what we're working on in the traffic group. So.
Okay.
And with 119th under construction now, you know, I think we're about a year or so away of seeing kind of the result of all this work we've done in the last decade in this area. And so it'll be interesting to see how traffic patterns change, you know, and, you know, there's long-term plans for improving 72nd Avenue and development potential, so we'll definitely be monitoring the area.
Yes. I'm so thankful that 119th Street improvement is going on out there. That is just great. Okay. Thank you very much. Any more on this, anybody?
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate it.
All right.
No report.
Are you finished?
I'm finished.
Mark, you got anything?
No, sir. I think I'm good.
Axel, you have anything?
Just kind of informational, as you know, we always have our evening council hearing the first weekend of the month, and this year that's August 4th. The primary is August 4th, and we typically work with elections because they like to use the hearing room. So we're looking out. I mean, that's August, but we'll probably either reschedule or cancel depending on what y'all want to do that evening.
RTC meets in there too, so how does that apply for their meeting?
Well, they meet in the
training room.
Training room. Yeah. Yeah. We're talking to hearing room.
I see. Okay.
So typically what we do is we move the evening hearing to the morning.
Which meeting is this?
This is the 4th of August. It's when the primary is, the primary election.
Sure, sure, sure.
Greg Kimsey usually takes over the hearing room in the evening, so we move to the morning.
Okay.
And if you'd like to have an evening hearing the second Tuesday or third, we can always have an evening hearing later in the month.
I would suggest that we just simply leave all the other meetings the same and just move that one from the evening to the morning.
That's been our typical practice.
You want to make that a motion? Make a motion like that? Do you agree?
I agree with that, and so moved.
Okay.
Well, we've always done that, of course.
Is that a second?
Yes.
All in favor of moving the meeting from August 4th from the evening to the 10
to
o'clock,
10 o'clock
morning,
in the morning? Yes.
Say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
A unanimous vote.
We've done that two times before.
That feels good.
It wasn't
okay, I would like to say one other thing.
Yes, sir.
And that is that the transportation funding package in our legislature, they took away the funding for widening SR-14 between 205 and 164 Avenue. They took it the funding away from Battleground for their improvements. They took it away from Washougal from their improvements. They bumped up the mystery interchange project from 83 million to 90 point some million with no documentation. They moved the potential funding for 179th Street up to years in the future, that could be very many years in the future, even though that would be a really good thing. I'm not. I'm thinking we get crumbs, and I move that we write a letter that opposes the transportation funding package as proposed, unless it significantly changed where we get our fair share.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'd want all the details of this because I haven't seen it. I would want to see that with my own eyes, but I'd be willing to consider that. I'd want to see the package as it's currently on the table because it's different today than it was yesterday. So it's kind of.
I talked with Senator Benton this morning, and he's right there in the fight, and he sees that we are getting the very, very short end of the stick.
That's been happening incrementally over the last week or week and a half, and it is a big concern. Mm-hmm. Still, I'd like to see. I'd be glad to support writing a letter.
You're
that
welcome to
insists
leave.
Oh, thanks. Are you still here?
Our project
be prioritized.
Be named and prioritized. I would support that because I think what did not get lost is the 12-cent gas tax, which makes us again a donor county for King County, so that we pay it in our region as drivers, and all of it goes to somebody else for their transportation projects. That's just not fair.
So I recommend, to get you up to speed, that you call our lobbyist, and he won't.
Well, I talked with Mike this morning.
I think she needs to talk to Mike.
Absolutely, I agree.
So we can get on with this letter, so she understands firsthand where
we are. I don't know that Mike's advice would be to send the letter today. I don't want to speak for him. Maybe we should have done a call. But I mean, when I talked to him this morning, obviously we're happy 179th is in the package, but everything's very fluid between.
Only
what's
going to
get merged between the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
They're both out, but they're not done. And so I haven't had the opportunity to talk to Senator Benton. But talking with Mike this morning, he was thinking things were pretty fluid. And I don't know that he would support sending a letter immediately until we're all
you,
on the same.
You need to let your feelings know before they make the decision.
I understand that.
And my experience is the sooner the better and stay focused.
So there's a motion on the table. Well, I would say that rather than just saying we oppose it blanket, that we would oppose these elements for this package for these reasons. If those reasons go away, we would reconsider. That way, we're very specific as to why.
I think Jamie has to find out what's going on.
Yeah. Can we frame it in the affirmative, though, that we will support a transportation package if it includes, and restate what we want?
the original reforms that were proposed and our fair share, they're proportional to how much we donate, how much, yeah, how much
well,
we send to the state for our
that the formula,
gas taxes.
That the formula for that be, because we've asked for, what do we call that? We've asked for review of that formula so that we don't have these big donor counties that don't receive.
Well, you have
across
to have,
the state. Well,
yeah.
I mean, we've asked for state modification
of
that.
Yeah, you have to have some donor counties. That's what builds the roads in the way out in the country.
Well, I
so
get
if
that.
You even got back half
we
of what
a,
we put in.
A larger portion than
yes.
we've been given.
Yeah, if you look at the disparity, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I have... I'm very reserved about the idea of sending a positive letter that says we support it with these things because what's going to that translate to a yes no vote that says they
yep.
support it, they want it a little
well,
different, but they
right.
support it, and I'm thinking no. So I would think that what we ought to do instead is to communicate just simply one-on-one to our representatives up there, our local coalition, and let
I
them know what is good and what we want and what we don't want. If we're going to go to bat for Clark County citizens to move our community forward, we don't want to send it all those out to the rest of the state and get nothing but a mystery project in its place.
So this is, it's in the House right now, correct?
It is.
No, if they if they disagree, it goes back to the origination.
Concerns.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both voted for a package. Now they have to sort of
they
reconcile
joint,
them. They got to reconcile them.
Committee.
Okay.
Okay, so you want to leave it there?
Contact them all.
No, I think it's important that we write a letter, but Jeannie has some questions on the where we are and what we have, and I think a simple phone call in 5 minutes, you'll have your answers, and then you'll support a more stern
well,
letter.
That's assuming I can find somebody on the other end. I know a few people that if I call, they will answer, but...
Call him on the phone.
Well,
is that easy?
Oh,
is
I
we
put it
right
if
out?
You feel like we ought to write a letter, I did put a motion out there. It hasn't been has not been said.
I think it's very important, but I respect Jeannie's position, and I would encourage her to immediately call him. He will answer the phone if he's not in the area, or he'll call you back immediately. He is our lobbyist. He is our eyes and ears up
yes.
there, and he'll tell you where we are and what's going on.
So, over and above the letter, how do we advocate through our legislators?
Yes, and then what I would suggest is that we each do some research. We communicate with Mike. We'll all gain insight, and we can feed that back to you, Mark. And if there's a message that we can all sign on to in a letter, that you and Axel can compose it. And if we all sign it, then we're good. And if we don't, then I guess we don't have a letter. Is that okay?
I would strongly agree with that approach. Talk to Mike, talk to our legislators,
yeah.
and find out if we have a unified message with where it's at. Because it's so fluid right now, I think that's a good
we
approach.
Do you mean Clark County? Or do you
the
mean
three of you,
yeah,
I think,
okay.
communicate with Mike and see what's happening.
Because I think he'll have a caution or two.
So,
yes.
we haven't adjourned yet. Can we take a chance and call Mike right now and see if he's available?
I hate to call him straight out of board time without letting him know. But
it's okay. It's okay. I mean,
you go warn him.
Yeah,
or just give him a heads up that each counselor will be calling.
He's just going to share with us what he knows. And that's going to be very helpful to us. And
you
it will be done.
You got
done
now?
He has it chiseled in his gray matter.
Mm-hmm.
I have to use my prosthesis gray bit.
Artificial aids.
Yeah.
And I was just going to go where
hey,
I think you're kind of going there is
board
the board probably wants a draft letter.
Yes.
In front of you for you all to approve
to
rather than just approve the concept
okay,
of the
yes.
letter.
It's the transportation package question and anyhow, just hold on a second, I'll put you on speaker.
Is that Mike? You got him?
Hey Mike, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to summarize
yeah.
kind of okay. So we're in board time and the transportation package issue came up. The question is obviously 179's in there, that's a positive and a good thing.
there are some things included in it that we don't necessarily care for. The question came up, should we send a letter? Is this the right time to send a letter kind of articulating any concerns we have? And my thought was the council should take the time to talk to you and get some perspective because things are so fluid right now with the reconciliation going on before they send any sort of a formal letter. I don't know what your thoughts are about that. I know we spoke this morning, but and you had some ideas. So what are your thoughts with us taking any sort of a position now versus sometime down the road?
Well, I mean, I think taking a position now is timely, but to give full advice, I guess I'd want to know or see what the letter says.
Well, right, and the letter, you know. Councilor Madore is not in here, and I hate speaking for him when he's not in here, but he's had some concerns with, the Mill Plain interchange and then some of the reforms that have been considered and talked about. So, you know, those would be things potentially articulated in the letter.
But, Mike, let me expand on that a little bit. It's our understanding that the Mill Plain I-5 was bumped up to $90 million. They removed some projects on Highway 14 as well.
In Battleground?
And are we getting the same small percentage of our gas tax money still, or are we getting more or less?
I think, Councilor, if you add it up, I actually think the House version... Someone told me, and I haven't added it up, but someone did tell me that if you actually did the math on all the Clark County projects, it's more in the Clark County than was in the Senate proposal. And I don't know that to be true. That's what I was told. But at the end of the day, I think it's very similar. I would tell you, in my opinion, that Southwest Washington, when you look at the total amount going to that region, didn't do badly compared to other regions that don't have a mega project. So I don't want to paint the picture that the package floods all this money into Southwest Washington for Southwest Washington project. It doesn't do that. But what it does do is if you start pulling out the areas with mega projects, take them off the list, because you know how mega projects are. They suck up a vast majority of the funding. There's one in the Pierce County area. There's one in Spokane County. There's a couple, three probably in the Seattle area. But when those are removed, of what is left, Clark County didn't do that badly, frankly. And I know that's not necessarily an apples-to-apples comparison, but you are right that the Camas projects were removed on the Senate or on the House proposal, and the Mill Plain project did bump up in money. I haven't gotten an explanation as to why Mill Plain bumped up in money. Staff members on the transportation committees talked to folks at DOT. Someone there must have, I'm just going on history, someone there must have told them that the project cost more for whatever reason. But, you do know, too, that these things are going to be reconciled when they're negotiating, as they negotiate forward.
So, Mike, my take is if they take a project off and put a project on, that's a net gain of zero.
Right, yes. But the dollar values, I guess, counts what I was saying, is if you add up the actual dollars, someone told me, I have not done it, but someone told you, if you went dollar for dollar, that the House practice for Southwest Washington is actually a little bit higher in the Senate. But again, I don't know that to be true. But I think at a minimum, you're right, they're very close, because those ones were pulled off and then what 79 was put back on, at $50 million, and I think it's probably about the same. I don't know how much the State Route 14 ones are off the top of my head, but I'm guessing they're in that range.
Any information as to the Ghost project on I-5 and Mill Plain? Any information on that?
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
We have no information on that. We have asked the DOT, the RTCs, we've asked Vancouver, we've asked the port. Nobody knows anything about it, but yet there's funding for it. Do you know anything from up there?
I don't know anything more than you know, Counselor. Okay. I've read the, you know, I've seen summaries of it on communication pieces, and when I say a summary, it's a, you know, four or five lines about it. I think I've seen some materials that have, that were passed forward by Matt Ransom to RTC folks that you all would have received, but I haven't seen any more than you've seen. In fact, I've probably seen less.
Okay.
Can you find out who it was that from WSDOT that said the Mill Plain project is going to be more expensive? Can you get a name?
I don't think I can, Counselor. My bet, and again, this, you may have missed some of the conversation, the way these amounts get generated in transportation budget lists here in Olympia is legislative staffers on the Senate or House Transportation Committee communicate with other staff members at the Department of Transportation to get dollar amounts for what projects cost. And that's just the normal course of things. So when I said that, I was speculating that someone there must have said the project cost more, and this is why. But again, Counselor, I don't know that to be, I'm not saying that that happened in this case. I'm just saying that's the normal course of how it's usually done.
Okay, $90 million for the Mill Plain interchange, that's not in the plus category for us at all. In fact, it's in the minus category for us, because we don't want to just simply say we got it to waste it or to misappropriate it or to somehow do something that nobody, that benefits no one. So what was the total amount minus that $90 million that we're supposed to get?
Well, I'd have to go back and do the math, but it's, you know, and then it depends. Are you including the local distribution money that goes to local governments? I'd have to do the math. I don't have it off the top of my head.
Well, basically,
what all the projects add up to.
We end up with one project that's supposed to be in the category of 5 to 16 years from now, and that's one project, which is 179th Street. Out of, $15 billion, we're supposed to get $50 million many years from now. I can do the quick math here.
Mike, what's the time frame for reconciling the House proposal and the Senate proposal? Because I think what the council's really getting at here is taking a hard look at each and sort of deciding how they feel about certain things that are within them and formalizing a position. So what's the time frame?
They started negotiating this morning, but keep in mind it's going to be intertwined a bit with what goes on in the operating budget. I don't think the two can necessarily, though they are independent, there are interlinkings amongst them. I don't know if interlinking is a word, but they are somewhat related. So it seems to me in the normal course here is that the operating budget has to come together at the same time along with capital. So I am not hopeful that they will finish on time, which would be a week from this coming Sunday. I think it's almost inevitable at this point. There is a 30-day special session. That's me talking. No one's told me that, but it's just, you know, just observing what I think's going on. That could all change next week, but in terms of making comments, having something together by early next week, I don't think you're going to be too late, I guess. Mm-hmm. Does that help?
Yeah. Yeah, just a quick thing. The amount that the way it stands today, we would end up with 0.3% of the $15 billion. And if we were to get half of what our 17% allocation would be that we pay in, that would be over $1 billion. So we are absolutely getting shafted with this. We're sending them our money, and I would think that unless the appropriate response for us, unless they have a substantial change, would be to oppose that project as is.
To oppose the entire transportation package?
They have to go back and make substantial changes and come back to us in order for us to get anywhere near half of our fair share for something useful. We've got a third bridge that we want to build over the next several years. And if this consumes and closes the door for 16 years, we don't want to forfeit that. We want a 179th Street interchange. We want SR 14 widened. We want Battleground and Washougal to get theirs. And we want a third bridge.
Yeah.
And we don't want to misuse it and throw it away on a project that doesn't need to be, that nobody can say how it's going to be improved. So do we have a consensus here with that message?
We'll let him go and we'll talk.
Okay. Mike, this is Jeannie Stewart. I have a question.
Yes.
To the best of your knowledge, which of our projects are still on the list?
Councillor, who else in the room there?
We got some citizens, the paper, staff, the usual.
Okay.
I can go grab the Transportation Alliance letter with the project list.
Well, but we need to know what
the guess, Councillor, the truth is that you all pay me for the job I do here, and there are conversations I have that are private.
Understood.
Frankly, I'm not willing to relay over the phone right now.
Sure.
I don't know another way to sugarcoat it.
Well, that's straight up what it is, and this is negotiations, and those conversations are about negotiations. So, if this isn't the best time to discuss those, I completely understand. I can do a little research on my own behind the pulling some stuff up off the internet. So.
What projects are in or not in are things I can answer, but then I can anticipate what the next question is going to be. Take a third bridge aside. That's not going to be funded.
Yeah.
I think we all know that.
So not this year.
Let's leave that off.
That is not going to be funded at this session. The rest of the Southwest Washington projects, if they showed up in one budget or another, are, in my opinion, are on the table and have a chance to still be funded.
What about the reforms?
Well, and I think that there will be reforms that will pass, Councillor. They likely, given knowing what you have said about them in the past, they will likely not be strong enough. I think you'll see some pass, given what the compromise has to be to get bills that are not maybe as strong on the reform side as you would like them to be, to get them out of the House, they have to be probably less than what you would like to see. You know, it's the compromise and how those come about. I don't know which exact reforms. I think there was a couple, three that were almost unanimous, and I think in the communication piece I sent to you all, well, almost a month ago now, it said which ones were. I could go revisit that and compare and contrast. But back to the projects themselves, I think almost all of them, again, if it was listed on the House budget originally or the Senate budget, they're on the table, and I see them happening. I also see when if I had a project and wanted it funded and it showed up in both budgets to start with, there's a pretty good chance that one's going to move forward. And I understand your concerns with the Mill Plain project. It showed up on both budgets. So, you can read into that what you'd like. And I believe me, I respect that you have questions about it. My suggestion would be to talk with the local DOT office, because that, to me, that's who's the natural is feeding the information to the state office.
But what you're saying is the Mill Plain project passed out of the Senate and it passed out of the House already.
No, it hasn't passed out of the House yet. What happened yesterday was the House Transportation Committee moved the transportation package on a party line vote into the House Rules Committee, where it's going to sit while they negotiate.
Okay.
And come up with and that's supposed to be the plan. That's supposed to be what happens. Well, then things change all the time.
Yeah. But it's on the list in both places.
What's that?
It's on the list in both places is what you're saying.
That project was on both lists that were released, yes.
I think we can do much, much better, and it's going to take another session to do so. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Mike, for being there when we called.
Actually, will you give me a call later, please?
I will. Yep.
Take care.
Okay. Peter, do you have anything?
Just to update, a couple sessions ago, we talked about some properties on behalf of Commissioner Mielke. There was one that I'd update you. This one's actually going through a tax foreclosure sale, so the treasurer's office is auctioning that one off. This one was identified by Public Works. It was an old site that we owned that was originally going to be a rocks quarry, and they determined it was surplus, so that's in the process of evaluation, and they're going to try to auction it off to adjoining property owners.
We're finding them.
The other right-of-ways, I got a lot of good information back from Steve Hansen, and I'll work with Legal and Public Works to move those forward, too.
Great.
How are they communicating with you? I mean, are they now on notice that we're looking at properties?
Well, the specific list that...
initiating communication?
The specific list that Councilor Mielke brought forward, or I identified for him, because they were right away parcels that hadn't been identified before. I'm working with staff to work those through some kind of process. So I'll work with Public Works. I talked to Steve Hansen, who found out the history on our acquisition. I'll work with Public Works on evaluating, do we still need them and Legal on what would the process would be for disposition to come back and
so
provide a recommendation.
What kind of project are you working with staff on? Because I'm not aware of it.
These are not actually
anything we find.
These don't have parcel numbers.
Right. These are
little slivers.
Slivers of right away that we identify.
We have a project where we are looking for them and trying to identify them.
Well, we've had an ongoing county project for the last several years where staff has gone through their list of parcels, and they're also going to try to make that a little bit more transparent. They're trying to come up with a way to compile a list so we don't, if we look at a parcel, we can say, go back and find their research and say, this is what we concluded on that, so we're not duplicating work. But I found some right-of-way locations that I specifically identified recently on behalf of Councilor Mielke and brought that to their attention. Those previously hadn't been evaluated because they didn't have a parcel number associated with them. So I'm specifically working on those parcels to see what we can do about it.
What I'm trying to figure out is if you're doing something on behalf of the commissioners, I'd want to know what that is. And I would want to know what our goal is, what we're trying to accomplish with it.
Same as these.
Okay, so if it's a project that we're spending time on, that is, I think you've done most of the research on your own.
With his help.
But Councillor, Peter has my blessing on this. So.
Well.
I mean, it's part and parcel.
That's just dandy. He has your blessing. I'm saying I want to know what we're working on.
And that's fine.
That's
you have a right to
too.
Know that. But we've had a larger project where we have parcel numbers, and Bob Poole and all the property owners have done a really great job making all that information transparent to the public. Spreadsheets, maps, all of that. What Peter's doing is he's finding pieces of land that don't have parcel numbers, and he's doing research on those. And then we're going to try to unload those by vacating them, giving them to the adjacent landowners, or by auctioning them off.
Thank you for saying that, because that is something I object to, is the idea that we have any asset that we're going to give to somebody. So I'd really like to see us develop a policy. I know we have some 5-foot strips. We have some other things that we're talking about vacating. If the land has value, I think we should not give it away. I think if an adjacent property owner wants it, what I'm saying. Do you think we should have a policy regarding what we do with excess land, and that we make a determination if we sell it? What is our policy about that? I don't know that we have an established
policy.
That's
kind of where we're going with it. Maybe we don't have a policy. Maybe we do. We're looking at land or slivers that become liabilities to the county instead of an asset. So you got to look at it to see what's best current use today. Is it a misplaced? We found a whole triangle, 3 acres parcel of land that was bought for a road project. North County, we got North County, that they never acted on. Something like that, we're looking at getting a parcel number to identify it and putting it on the market to sell it. And the little slivers you're talking about, sometimes the neighbors don't want those. We don't want the liability of upkeep, so we need to find a solution to maybe let the neighbors know that it would be an asset to them if they took it.
And I understand that we cannot create a policy that can cover every single base known to man about a square of property 10 inches wide and 3 feet long. Okay, I completely understand that.
We're not worried
that.
About those.
Well, I have no idea. I have no idea how big the parcels are.
We'll bring them to you.
So I think we should establish a policy. So I think we should have a conversation about it.
You want to lead in that?
Well, I think I'll bring it to board time.
Great.
That we spend some time asking staff what they think the policy, but we should have policy parameters.
Okay. So these are things that we've been working on.
We can propose those.
We've been working on this.
I would be very interested in staff's recommendations.
We've been trying for a long time to address this issue. We started this 6 years ago when we created the environmental department because we had 112 people in charge of 300 parcels. And no one knew what the other one had. So in the creation of that, we started to address it. Now we only have a handful of people, 12 people in charge of the 300 parcels. So
it's important to know where the property is and what it is. And in a consolidated form, I agree. We should have a policy
about what we...
Well,
we're using them for stormwater facilities.
If it's excess, mm-hmm. what we do with it
okay.
and how.
And along those roads, pun intended, we could have a practice that also allows us to, in parallel, identify properties, find out what staff knows about those properties, and like we did today, bring them to us, and we can at least handle, consider the most obvious ones so that we can make some progress as mm-hmm. a policy gets developed. So that's a little bit of practice kind of mm-hmm. ahead of the policy that provides some oversight and some decision making along the way. And I invite that. I think it's a good idea for you to be able to come up with a policy that would get us going in the right direction.
Well, I thought we had been the last couple of years actively seeking to identify these properties.
You're right. And what happened is the staff identified it and, in their opinion, didn't identify it as excess property.
Well, excess, but sometimes we actually have it for a reason, so, okay.
Probably do.
Okay. Anything else?
Peter? No.
Okay. Anyone else? Anything? Mark?
No, sir.
Okay.
I need a motion.
All right. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Adjourn.
Thank you.